purpose is to move you, just move you further from our Lord and Savior. And what I hear him saying in that, to me at least, because I've had some problems and you've had problems and things come in and assail us on a daily basis. And if we're really honest, which we don't like to do a lot of times when we're with other Christians, have you ever said, I've just had it? I've had it. I've had it with this, that, or the other thing. I can't do anymore. I can't take anymore. And what I keep hearing him say when I find myself in that position in my head, I hear him asking, what, and I shared it with Ted today, what did you sign on for, Doug? And there's a parable in the Word of God that talks about the workers in the marketplace. And some came on and got hired, and others came on an hour or two later, and another group came on, and the last group comes in, they only worked for an hour, and they got the same exact thing as everybody else. And that first one, Doug Gibney, he started griping a little bit. Started griping about what he had to do, how he had to do it, why he had to do it, how come so much, how come. And all I hear him saying is, Doug, what did you sign on for? I signed on for eternal life. I signed on to hear his word, accept his word, and the best that I can possibly do, put it into shoe leather. And I hope that is an introduction that maybe makes sense in your life this morning as we look at Hebrews 5. This is one of the many warnings. There's five or six, depending on how you count here, warnings in the book of Hebrews that I think we should take heed to. I think after we're done with Hebrews, what have we been in it now? 7 months, 8 months. We should be done in a year and a half, maybe. We'll categorize the warnings that are in Hebrews, because I think they're extremely important. There's nothing like a heartfelt, good warning. And I've said it before, and as an ex-cop, I saw people's faces smile when I said, I'm just going to give you a warning. God is saying, I'm not punishing you. I'm not giving you this to make you feel bad today or want to maybe walk away. I'm doing this just to warn you, to let you know what's coming, so that we're not taken by surprise. Don't you hate to be taken by surprise? It's so nice to know what's coming. And that's what I feel Hebrews is for us. So we're going to be looking at Hebrews 5, and we're going to, Craig did a great job, I heard, on giving the explanation of high priest that the writer of Hebrews is trying to show us that, yeah, you know, you guys know about your high priest. You held him in esteem. The Jews, he was highly regarded. But he's trying to say we have such a better high priest than what we have on this physical. He goes into one of the warnings here that sometimes if we run over it, we miss. But I think if we take heed to it, if we sit during the course of our week and ask God, what is it? What is it that I can do here, Lord, with this section of the word in my life, in my human responsibility? Don't ever forget the sovereignty of God. Don't just try to rush in and do things because that is the Christian thing to do, or that's what I see Ted doing. Who wants to go to the reservation this week? Just because Ted's and Tom are going doesn't mean we have to, but what I have to do is pray for safety for their families, safety for them, safety that they're not going down there to just eat fry bread. They're going down there to bring the word of God and a touch of love into some life that hasn't seen it in a real way. That's all we all need to do. So I think that's what the author of Hebrews, my mind, Paul, is trying to explain to each and every one of us, that within our salvation, there is his sovereignty, that only he can do things. But within that sovereignty, he has a human responsibility for every one of us that are called by his name. What did I sign on for? Occupy till I come. Pat, when she was taking care of her mother, bringing her back from New York, end of days. Some of you have done that before. It's trying when you take care of someone who is dying. And Pat kept asking, what do you want me to do? And what did he tell you? Finish well. Finish well. He didn't say go out there and knock on doors, go do this, make sure you did, you know. He said, finish well. What does that mean for you? What does that mean for you? What does that mean for you? Finish well, because one day we will stand before the Lord our God and give an answer for the time and the talents and the gifts that he gave to us. Did we squander them, or did we try our humanly best to apply them? That's what I feel today is about. So let's read. I said, Craig did 10, talking about Melchizedek, the high priest of God. Verse 11 says, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. Doesn't mean that we're hard of hearing. It means that we are, in the original Greek that the writer used this, he's saying, I got a lot to say, but you're dull of hearing. What he meant was you're lazy. Ow, that hurts, doesn't it? Lazy when it comes to the Word of God. Reading it, applying it, living within it. And see, today, these are, and somehow, some way, I'm going to make this encouraging. Because it sounds like it's already getting off pretty hard, doesn't it? But you're lazy. You're slothful in the Greek is what it is. You'd rather go sit in a chair and poke your eyeball with an umbrella drink or something. You know, and nothing wrong with a drink. Please, I'm not saying that either. Nothing wrong with going to the beach. Nothing wrong with going here or there or the other place. Occupy. You're getting dull of hearing, Doug. You're getting a little lazy when it comes to the things of God. That's what he's saying. Not that I... Oh, what, could you repeat that again? And I love the Lord because he has been repeating for 43 years things to me that I thought I had, that I wasn't ready to do. The things that now in my older, mature Christian sinning life, I want to hear him. I want to do what he wants me to do. So the first warning we hear today is that, and if the shoe fits, it's wear it. It's the old Johnny Smith way back, right, Taffy? What dog yelps the loudest if you throw a rock into the pack? The one that gets hit. You know, it's that simple. This preacher took a job. Some of you might have heard this. This preacher took a job at a church, and when he went before the board of elders and everything, he gave a sermon. Give us a sermon. So he stood up there and gave a sermon. Wow, that was tremendous. So they hired him. He comes in the next Sunday, gives his sermon. The congregation says, wow, what a service. What a sermon he gave. This was the best. And they went on and on. Well, the next week he gets up there and he preached the same sermon. And the following week, he got up there and he preached the same sermon. And finally, this person in the front row after the service came up and said, excuse me, you know, that was really a good sermon, but do you have any more sermons? And he said, yes, I do. Well, when are you going to preach one? When you do something about the first one I preached. Woo! Ow! Woof, woof! Woof, woof, how many times do we hear things and we walk out the door and we're exactly the same as we were when we came in it? That's not what God intends. Doug, you're becoming lazy. You're becoming slothful. You're slow moving in the things of Christ, but ready to run to anything else. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. What are the first principles of the oracles of God? The basics. We're going to see that in chapter 6 as we get there. There are basics from the Old Testament and the Jewish laws and whatnot that were sent. But it's the, let's go ABCs, if we could be that simple. That we should, you know, when, before we got saved, when we were of our father the devil, every one of us were, when we were there not knowing Christ, not in relationship with Christ, and we started hearing the word, Oh, gee, John 3:16. And not that that is an ABC, but that was what we heard. God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever should believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. ABCs, the basic foundation of the word of God. But it was never meant to be left at the basic foundation of the word of God. Remember when we were all in school, and I don't know about you, but we're talking about the 50s. They used to have these... what were they called? Like I was going to say a banner, but it was a big, long paper across the blackboard, and it had capital A, small a, capital B, small, and then under here, there was these really weird-looking, that was the cursives. The ABC, and then all of a sudden, the ABCs got put together, and words were formed out of them. Sentences were formed out of them. Communication between people were formed out of the simple ABCs, but they were never left to be just A, that's a B, that's a C. And that's what the author is telling us right here. You need somebody, Doug, to teach you again those first principles. Let me hear what I'm supposed to do with them now. Didn't the teacher make us take those letters and put them together on a piece of paper and write them out in words? Cat, dog. I mean, I watch my great-grandkids now, and they're excited about being able to either write a word or see a word and speak it. That's how we should be about the Word of God. I see it. Wow, I see it, Lord. I want to do that. And if I can teach myself first, see, because I can't go any further with you than I'm willing to go myself. I don't want to say something that might sound like you better get your stuff together when my stuff is not in order. God wants to walk each one of us through as a body of Christ, as individuals, so that we might grow, so that we might mature, not in just the physical, but in the spiritual. And I hope that's what I can get to today. So these first principles, the ABCs, and you've become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. Those words, you look at them, they're amazing. Milk means milk and meat means meat, but the strong meat, the depth of God's word, it's not that I can't understand the word itself as I read it, conversation, you know, whatever that word you might pick out, sovereignty. What he wants us to do is take those ABCs, that milk of the word, and put it into shoe leather. And that's bringing it out into someone else's life, bringing it into my home front, living it on a daily basis. That's the meat of the word. Otherwise, it's just milk. For everyone in verse 13 that uses milk is unskillful. That word in the Greek means no experience. You haven't put it to use. You haven't told anybody, God loves you. This is not the end. Whatever that situation might be, we have no experience because we haven't gone beyond the ABCs, and that's what God is trying to move us towards that. You're unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat, the depth of God's word, the doctrines, let's use that, which are so many, but the force of God's word belongs to them that are of full age. I think looking around here, except for a few, most of us have passed full age, haven't we? We're there. So it's almost like, well, so when are you going to get going, Doug? Well, I've only had 43 years. Strong meat. The application of God's word first in my life and then into the life of others belongs to those who are maturing in Christ. That everything else is secondary and he is the first in any of our vision. Strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use, habitual use, not Sunday, not Bible study, not when there's other Christians around. But the Holy Spirit says that strong meat belongs to them that are not only of full age, mature in Christ. And let me get this out first if I don't get down to it. Spiritual maturity has nothing to do with age. Nothing to do with age. I'm 43 years in the Lord. Some thinking I was going to say I'm 43 years old. It's like, no. Full age. Spiritual maturity. We can see people who within 1 year of their salvation far surpass. I don't know why. Maybe it's because their focus was Christ and Christ alone. Maybe because that's what they see is Jesus first. 43 years in the Lord. I'm thinking, man, I ought to be writing books. And, you know, I couldn't even write my poor mother one letter in a whole life. What's with that? We get occupied with other things that seem so pressing and so important. But what's important is the use of the Word of God in our lives. And it's expected as a responsibility from our Lord. Because strong meat belongs to them that are full age. Let's get on with the 14. Even those who, by reason of habitual use, have their... And if you underline... Please underline this, and I'd ask us all, meditate on this week. Have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Amen. Father God, open our understanding. Thank you. Thank you, God, that you speak to us and try to gently woo us and move us along in this path called life, Father. So open our understanding by your Spirit this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Amen. We're instructed to keep growing, no matter what might be going on outside these doors. Like I said, family problems, work problems, health problems, whatever. The Lord has a plan of growth, maturity, and movement, which is forward, not backwards, not sideways, not even standing still for a while. Just give me a break. Which was happening, if we all remember, to these Hebrews in the very beginning. They had had it with persecution. They had had it with all of the stuff that was being said to them by their community. The early Jews were just, you know, when they turned to Jesus Christ and Christianity, they were mocked. They were like, what is wrong with you? They had problems just like we do. And God is... in a sense, excluding those problems and saying, I want you to grow. I want you to move. That's the plan and point and purpose. So stick something in there. Let's just look quickly at 1 Peter chapter 2. Again, we're supposed to grow. And that's what this writer, I think, is Peter here is basically saying the same thing. If you're there, 1 Peter 2, wherefore? Laying aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisy and envies and evil speakings. See, this is growth. This is strong meat now. This is strong meat. And that's what's supposed to happen. Oh, I'm saved. John 3:16. Hold a sign up at the baseball game, the football game. No, go beyond that. There's nothing wrong with that, but go beyond that. And now, Doug, in your life... Wherefore, for everything I've said so far in that chapter, lay aside all your malice, your guile. What is that? What is yours reading the NIV there?
Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and
all. It says malice in there and guile.
Is that the one you want?
Yeah, but I thought they had another word in there that maybe somebody. Hypocrisies, play acting.
Hypocrisy.
Is what that word is.
Slander.
Envy, evil speaking. Evil speaking is even gossip. Gossip about somebody else, griping about somebody else. This stuff is really starting to strike home with me lately because that's been part of my life since I can ever remember. It's like it's okay. It's okay, these things. God's saying, no, it's not. Verse 2, as newborn babes. Now he's saying, like, step back. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. And if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Whew. Anybody taste that the Lord is gracious in any way here today? Any way in your life. One way, maybe. Because I don't think it's good after he shows us one way to say, well, give me one more sign. Show me one more. They got in trouble for that once before in the Word of God. Turn to 1 Corinthians 3. Again, using these to show that the Lord is expecting growth from us, that we should take what we first learned, put it into shoe leather. 1 Corinthians 3. It says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal. And remember, he said brethren in there, didn't he? He's talking to believers. And I feel the Spirit of God is talking to me today. He's talking to you today, if we have ears to hear. Brethren, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ, I've fed you with milk. He gave the ABCs. And not with meat. Didn't give the strong thing. See, we do that a lot, too. This is kind of a sidebar with other Christians that just come to the Lord. We expect them to be right where we are today. And we talk about them, and we knock them, and we ask them sometimes, just go, just find another church. It shouldn't be that way. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for you were not able to bear it, neither are you now. For you're yet carnal, or fleshly in a sense, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions. And the Lord looks at this, like, if these things are in there, which we look as so common to us, they are, but we're to fight against them in the power of the Lord. If these things are in us, these divisions as factions, as groups, aren't you walking according to man, is what he's saying. Instead of taking these ABCs, turning them into words, turning them into sentences, turning them into communication, and getting out there with the time that we have right now. The author could teach this, I feel, of Hebrews. Let's turn back there. He could teach this. It wasn't like he couldn't speak this or get it across to him because he wasn't qualified or he didn't have a PhD behind his name. I looked at this and I thought, my goodness, you know, the Paul or the author of Hebrews had no problem teaching it and preaching it, and it wasn't the speaking of the Word of God, it was the hearing of the Word of God. And I wonder if I'm still listening today, and those of us who have children or had our children and are grown, how many times have you said, do you hear me? I'm not going to say this again. Are you listening? Aren't you happy that God isn't like that? I can't think of how many times I've asked my children, did you hear me when I said that? Did you not realize I meant that? Did you think I was going to change my mind? I mean, so many things. But God is so gracious and so kind. And he's saying, Doug, let's go one more time. Tell me the ABCs. Occupy till I come. I heard that. What does that mean, Doug? Ooh. Well done, good and faithful servant. I want to hear that. Not well thought of, well intended. Gee, you were going to do that, Doug, when you got the time. I want to get moving now because we don't have a lot of time left. Verse 14. Really jumped out at me after all these years. When we use this meat of the word, when we put it into shoe leather, if you would, when we use it in our daily routine, just talking, if nobody's around, just talking to them. Just saying, wow, Lord, what a day. But no, I goon out and I think, oh boy, you know, I'd like to pour some cement out there today. So Pat and I could sit there without getting our toes dirty. I mean, this, it's okay, but anybody have that problem that your mind is occupied with things that are going to burn and pass as compared to, look at that guy over there at that table, Doug. He looks like he's ready to be in tears. Why don't you just go say hello? Oh, no. Meat. when we hear God, just do what he says, as foolish as it might seem, as worthless as it might seem at the time, he's got a purpose in there. And when I do that, I feel that's what the Spirit of God is saying, that when I utilize me, my senses are exercised. So how many senses do we have? We all probably, you know, just use your head and your hand. I got eyes, I got ears, I got smell, I got mouth to talk, and I got hands to touch. Those are my normal, everyday senses. Well, God wants our spiritual senses, the things that we should and should not look at, exercise those, because then when we use God's word and his meat, we see what's good and what's evil. You shouldn't be sitting behind a computer watching pornography or some movie that's enticing you. That's having my senses, not my physical enjoyments exercised. It's my senses that it's like, that is not good. Like we used to do with our son. If my son was here today, I'd ask him, remember when I used to take your tapes? They started with tapes back, Jay's 49. I'd just rip the tape out of the cassette. That's not my tape. And he'd name his friends. I said, well, it doesn't belong in this house. Then he went to CDs and he thought he could hide those in his underwear. Well, I'd find those in there and I'd break them in half. Those weren't my CDs. We don't have that in this house. Somewhere along the line, my spiritual senses got a little bit weakened and I wasn't exercising them. And a lot of us today, and this is nobody in here, we're more interested in exercising our physical bodies, both part of it, or our homes and our cars. Polish that puppy, wax that thing, get it all vacuumed. You kids, don't you eat that McDonald's in the back seat, you know. We're so concerned about the physical stuff. And exercise, like I said, there's nobody here, but I wanted to get a stat. If anybody can go on there, get Darren, you could probably Google pad it. How many people this morning are in gymnasiums all over the United States, sweating, stinking, hurting, moving the physical body to a point that they want to see, and the spiritual exercise is dead? It's not even there. We have church building programs that we will knock ourselves out on. Come every Saturday afternoon and build a thing and do this and do that. And then we walk and we run and we exercise. I've said it before, what gets me, I don't like to exercise because I get tired. That's the only reason. But I see these people in Boulder standing on the corner. They just can't stop. It seems to become something habitual. I think habitual use of God's word will get us standing saying, oh Lord, I can't wait to get going again. I can't wait for one more time. We don't spiritually exercise ourselves anymore. A little sip of God's word, the milk, seems to be enough for most of Western Christianity. Don't take it personal. If a shoe doesn't fit, don't put it on. But most of us, just a little sip of God's word, maybe once a day, maybe every couple days, that seems to be enough. And it goes along with the physical, because a walk downhill is always easier than a walk uphill, isn't it? And this is hard, this stuff that we're talking about. It's time. I'll give you two more and then I'm done. Let's go to 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 4. I really just want two verses out of this, but you know, God, sometimes we just need, as Paul had stated in Acts, the whole counsel of God. It all goes together. It's not disjointed. So if you're in 1 Timothy 4, like I was saying, this is hard. It seems like everything, there's this tyranny of the urgent out there in our lives, of work and money and health and family and doing, and it always seems that God is getting put to the side, at least in my life. And I think what he's doing is gently and lovingly saying, just give me a little bit more, Doug. Just a little time. Just talk to me. And there's a reason for that. And it says in verse 1, now the Spirit, and that's not Doug, it's the Spirit, speaks expressly that in the latter times, and that happened clear back at the cross. And it's going to go on until the rapture of the church. But the Spirit of God speaks that in the latter times, some, not all, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. That's what happened to the Jews. They started, if you have time, and I won't do it, go to Acts 4, I think it is. The church in Jerusalem, they did great. Remember, they sold everything they had. They hung out together. They ate together. They went out into the town. They did things, and they were really moving along and getting things going. Then all of a sudden, we read in Hebrews, what happened? Persecution, events that were surrounding them, took that time that so belongs to the Lord. And it got them to be, some of them were ready to go back to the old traditions. Maybe there's somebody in here today ready to go back to the old traditions. Man, there's nothing like an old path, is there? You know it like the back of your hand. But something new gets a little scary. But the reason why God is telling us this today is that in these times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrine, and boy, they're out there. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding you to marry, committing to abstain from meats. Oh, strong meat? No, he's talking about what we should and what we shouldn't eat. And we are more concerned now of what we should eat, what we shouldn't eat, what we should drink, what we shouldn't drink, what we should wear, and this is in churches, and what we shouldn't wear, than we are the meat of God's word. What is he saying here? And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, no, you should. And that's what this was going on. Forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which it would make you a better Christian, supposedly, which God created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature is of God. Every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving, for it's sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If you put the brethren, that's us, believers, in remembrance of these things. So please go home and read this. See what God's got. You'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. Here it is, but refuse profane and old wives' fables. Exercise yourself to godliness. Having our spiritual senses, remember, exercised. He's saying now, exercise yourself to godliness. Oh, but Doug just complained about the gym. No, I didn't. Because the author says, for bodily exercise profits little. That means there's a little benefit to it. But I'll tell you what, if God chooses to leave me here when I'm 90, 100, that exercise isn't, it might profit a little. But he's saying, exercise yourself unto godliness. It's profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. You read the rest of that one. I know it's hard. My last one, Revelation 3. Revelation 3. I know it's hard. Boy, you wouldn't understand. As soon as I sit down to try to read the word, as soon as I try to pray, as soon as I try to give God just this little time, the phone rings, somebody knocks at the door, this happens, the dog runs away, you know, name whatever it might be. God knows it's hard too. It's hard for every one of us to do that spiritual exercise that God so requires in our lives. Verse 8 of Revelation 3, you know, and he spoke this to the church of Philadelphia, and the letter to the churches, I think, apply today as much as they did then. We apply them. Remember, the Word of God isn't directly to us. Not every one of His, it's to the churches, it's to the Hebrew nation, it's, you know, but everything that God speaks is for us. We can apply it. Verse 8, I know your works. I know what you're doing, Doug. Behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for you have a little strength. Man, I read that this week and I thought, thank you, Lord. A lot of us try to portray ourselves as something else, don't we? If it's not within the spiritual realm, it's in the physical realm. Oh, I was a wrestler. Oh, I was a football player. Oh, I was a baseball star. I could have gone to college on a, you know. We like to portray ourselves as these stalwart individuals when we're really weak. God says, you know, in your weakness, my strength can be seen. There's nothing wrong with that weakness in a sense. And God is saying, I know that you have a little strength and you've kept my word and you haven't denied my name. There's the key to it right there. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they're Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet. And I know that I have loved you because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Look at ourselves today, if we can, when we walk out of here. I'm here. I'm still bothered by some things. That's the Holy Spirit working in us. You don't like the way this is. You don't like the way that is. You want to do this more. The devil's not telling you that. God is trying to move in our lives, trying to grow us, trying to get us past the milk, make that full sentence. You've kept the word of my patience, and I'm going to keep thee. And this is a whole other sermon, which I won't go with, but please understand this. Time is short. I will keep thee from. The word from is ek in the Greek, meaning out of. I'm going to keep you out of. There's another word, through. I'll keep you through. If he said that, that's the word dia in the Greek. That means I'll kind of be with you and walk you through. He's walking us through some problems right now, some of us. But he is going to keep us out of, take us out from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast, occupy till I come. What did you sign on for, Doug? What did you ask me? I asked him to save my life. Put peace back in my heart. Let me really love. Let me do those things. Let me show one more beggar where I found bread. Those are the things that I said 43 years ago. But behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which you have. Let no man take your crown. Father God, thank you. Make this word clear in each one of our hearts. This is some of the hard sayings of Christ. But when I stand before you, Father God, I want to have preached the whole gospel, not just the favorable parts of the gospel, the whole counsel of God. Let each one of us that have ears to hear this, speak with you this week, Lord, on those things that you want to deal with. And then in your timing, watch you work in us and with us and through us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to go to the table. Yeah? What do we sing first? No, we're going to go to the table and sing.